Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, listen, this morning's series, Better Together. There's two, I'm going to tell you, two specific, this month. It's going to go into first week, second week, third week, fourth week, and then culminate the fifth week of this, five Sundays this month, with the serve day. And so there's a progression that's going to take place. And so I want to talk to you about the things that I've mentioned this before in Tom's past, but we're going to camp on these two things. The first couple of weeks, one of them, the next couple of weeks, and the second. But basically, I want to talk about it. Now, God created a lot of things. I mean, He is the creator. Understand? Right? I mean, let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles, or, get your smartphone out, or whatever it is running with, get your Bible out. And we're going to start right there in Genesis chapter 1, where it all began. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and He created the earth. The Bible goes on to say that God said, let there be light, creating night and day, evening and morning. He created sky, land, ocean, plant life, sun, moon. He created aquatic life, birds, the bird life, animals, reptiles, and He even created bugs. Then in verse 26, He goes on and He said, let us make man. So He did. He created man. And the Bible says that He created him in His image. So we'll stop there. His image. So when you look in a mirror and the devil tells you that you're ugly and you don't matter, that's a lie, because you're created in His image. And the Bible says there's no truth in him. So you turn around and say, well, the devil just told me, I wait a second. If he says I'm ugly and he's a liar, that means I must be good looking. And so you know what? There's nothing wrong with saying that, because you are created in the image of God. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. So you can take it up with God. Right? I mean, God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. And then, so God creates a woman, creates a man, but then He forms a woman. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I got to be good. My wife's not here. So, He forms woman. Then God brought the woman to the man. And then the most infamous words in the King James, that growing up, we didn't have all the different translations. We had the King James and the New King James. And we were excited that the King James got new. And so it was the New King James. And then those infamous words that God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Praise the Lord. We all know what that means, right? We don't need to go into what that means. We all understand. What be fruitful? It doesn't mean you go to Publix and get some grapes. All right, that's not what it means. Be fruitful and multiply. Right? Praise the Lord. All right, everyone's smiling, so you know what I'm talking about. Amen. So, church, we see here that God created all these things. Right? Brought Adam and Eve together. Said, be fruitful and multiply. And then the sixth day, or seventh day, God chilled. He rested. But I present before the court this morning to think or see this. I say that there was one more thing that He created. He just didn't say it out what it was. One thing that He created when He said, be fruitful and multiply. Right there and then, He created the first institution that I believe, one of two institutions that is vital. The first one He created right there and then, when He said, be fruitful and multiply, He said, go be married and multiply. Have a family. He created the institution, the importance of family right there. The importance of family. Family is huge. The institution of family. Then we fast forward. We fast forward all through the Old Testament. We fast forward all the way through, right? Through the Gospels, breaking through the New Testament into the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Bam, we stop at Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, right? And we see in Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one place, suddenly, like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This event caused commotion in the city, right? Because they were loud. They were speaking in tongues. They were loud. It got the community, it got the city's attention. They came and they all circled, they all corralled, they all came around and said, what is going on? Oh, they must be drunk. They're just, oh man, they've been tipping a few back, you know? And then this cause right here in verse, let's speak of it 14, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain you. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Peter begins to preach a message from verse 14 to verse 41 about the gospel of Jesus. And at the end of verse 41, the Bible says that 3,000 accept the message of Jesus. And it says this specifically, and added to their numbers. Then in Acts 42, they devoted themselves. This is important. I'm building the platform for the next 5 weeks. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe of the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were there and had everything in common. They sold properties and possessions to give to anyone who needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That sounds like the church. So we see right here God creating the institution of the church. So the next few weeks we're going to be talking about these two great institutions, the importance of the family and the importance of the church within a believer's life, within your life. And these two institutions, the family and the church, the devil absolutely hates. Absolutely. The enemy has attempted to pervert, discredit, and destroy the family. He has attempted to pervert, discredit, and destroy the church. You think about how these two things, but today, let's start the beginning phases. Let's take the church and put it on the back burner. And let's talk about family, the importance of family. Marriage stats from WFLawyers.com. They have over 100 stats when it comes to divorce and marriage. Almost 50% of all marriages, they say, in the U.S. end in divorce. 60% two-time marriages, the second-time marriage, ends in divorce. 73% of third-time marriages end in divorce. This is stats from a secular site. Every 13 seconds, they say there's a divorce in America. Every 13 seconds. That equals to about 277 divorces per hour. 277 per hour, 6,648 a day, 46,523 a week, 2,419,196 per year. Don't tell me that the enemy is not trying to attack. He doesn't like family. He hates family and the power that the potential that they have, as families have. Basically, with those numbers that I just shot you, those are just a few of the 125 that I saw on there, that the 2 minutes that it usually takes for a couple to have their wedding vows, 2 minutes, their stats say that 9 divorces happened in that 2 minutes with those numbers. The average length of a marriage, they say, now this is secular. This is a worldly, this is not what we know what this says, but I'm talking about how the world doesn't understand, but the enemy does, right? The average length of a marriage that ends in divorce is 8 years. And then I thought these were interesting. The most expensive celebrity marriages, Michael Jordan, $168 million. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, $250 to $300 million. And then the biggest one they had on there was Mel Gibson, was $425 million. Now, you think those are crazy. Now, this stat's going to blow your mind. If your parents are happily married, your risk of divorce decreases by 14%. If your parents married others after divorcing, you're 91% more likely to get divorced. According to Nicholas Wolfinger in the book Understanding the Divorce Cycle, the risk of divorce is 50% higher when one spouse comes from a divorced home. And it raises to 200% higher when both individuals come from a divorced home. If the marriage is attacked and destroyed, God's plan for the family is difficult to obtain. Understand that. If the marriage is attacked and destroyed, God's plan for the family gets extremely difficult to obtain. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm saying it makes it more difficult. The absence of a father's voice and influence within the home is a strong factor for being irregular. The same with the mother's voice. Lack of consistency is huge. The enemy's attack is strong against parents who, you know, are supposed to be, we're supposed to be modeling the love of God and modeling the example of Jesus. That's why the attack is so great. You've heard me say, and Pastor Kathy and I know last week we had small groups. Don did a phenomenal job. But three weeks ago, Pastor Kathy and I have been setting this series up. We've been talking about the importance. The parents are the biggest influence in a teenager's life, in a child's life. The parents are the influencers. The number one, the biggest influence. We're supposed to be the ones, and I say we because I'm a parent, we are supposed to be the ones that are modeling the love of God and being the example of Jesus. Loving God, loving people, and developing a Christian and godly legacy within the home. That's what we're supposed to be doing. See, he's trying to destroy the legacy. He's trying to destroy the legacy. Because you know what? Other beliefs, other religions, they know the importance of legacy. They know the importance of teaching their children their beliefs, no matter what it is. They go through what we would say the rituals so that child is raised to take that legacy on. And then they become parents and they teach their children. That's not happening the way it should be in the church today. See, it's because the devil's attacked the home from within. That's why it's so important. See, Ephesians 4:2 refers to perfecting of the saints. That's where the church comes in, to help the families, to stir up individuals. The church helps motivate, inspire, train, lead, teach, model to keep God as the priority within the home. But most importantly, within our hearts. But we see that the enemy comes against the church like never before. There's such an attack on the church. And so I encourage you this morning, you know, as a child of God, we have to be aware of the importance and the purpose of these two great institutions that God has created, the family and the church. The family and the church. So this morning I want to leave you with this. Before, this is just kind of like scratching the surface. But before we can kind of gather ourselves up, our families, and say, you know what, let's be intentional. I want to read you this story real quick. First Kings chapter 20. This is a powerful, powerful visual illustration. First Kings chapter 20, verses 39 and 40. Now, as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle. And there a man came over and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.'" Verse 40, "While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, 'So shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided this.'" And you think about this. Have you seen the movie Braveheart? You think about movies like that where there's battles on the field and there's rumbling of the chariots and the horses, and there's trumpet cries and shofars, and there's clanging of swords, and there's clanging of shields. There's so much going on, so many things that's taking place in the middle of a battle. And so here comes the king, and the king has a prisoner and says to the soldier, here's what I need you to do. I need you to shut off the things of the world. I need you to shut off the war, shut off everything. This is your number one priority. Soldier, this is your number one priority. It is of the utmost importance that I want you to guard this person. I want you to guard this man. Guard this man and do not let him escape. Because if he escapes for any reason, it's going to be your life. That's how important it is. And then the Bible says here, the war takes place, so the battle goes on, the battle ends, the dust settles, the king comes back, and the king says, "Where is that man?" And the soldier says, very epically, "King, he's not here. He got away. He escaped." Well, what did he do? Did he overpower you? No, sir. Did you get distracted by the lust of a woman? No. What was it that caused you? To take your attention off of what the number one thing, what you were supposed to do. And he said, right here and there, he says, so simply, that he was busy here and there. Your servant was busy here and there. Church, if we need to, this is, light bulb is going to click in a second. We got to understand. In this story, the way I see it as really the king is Jesus. The man is our flesh. The God is us. We're supposed to not allow our flesh to get the best of us. We're supposed to keep our old man on guard at all times. At all times, we're supposed to keep that old sinful nature on guard. That's us. I'm asking you to look internally before you start helping the family, before you start corralling the troops and getting things going. You have to make sure you are where you need to be. I do that before. I'm not going to sit down and start pointing out Pastor Kathy's faults and this and that and everything. I've got to come to a place where I've got to do, I got to look on the inside. Am I where God wants me to be as a man of the house? Am I where God needs me to be in this time in my life, and not just be busy with things here and there? Because we all can get busy with things here and there. We all can make excuses. If we allow the flesh, we allow the old man, the old nature to have his way, It will control our lives, and we will be far from God. We won't be anything near anybody. Family won't be important to us. Why? Because what I want is important, more important than my family, more important than my wife, more important than my kids. And forget the church. Who cares? I got to go grocery shopping, so I'm going to do it on Sunday morning. I'm going to go to the beach because I'm going to do it on Sunday morning. Why? Because I'm so far from God, it doesn't matter. But when we guard and we put our flesh under, do not allow the enemy to entice us, and we get busy. See, that's his key. See, that's how sin is. Sin, which all that is separation from God. Okay? That's what sin is. Sin is separation from God. The devil doesn't come up to you and say, hey, here's sin. And you're like, okay. And you know. The Bible says that the devil disguises it. He gets you to, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, all right. I know I'm not supposed to mess with it, but I get a little taste, you know? And that's it. And that's when you start getting hooked. You guys start, what I'm talking about is that you have to take care of, you know what, I'm out of time, but you know what? Ephesians 4:20 talks about, not letting the old man, the flesh, renew your spirit. Write down Galatians, all Galatians, but 5 through 26, or 16 through 26. You know, it talks about that we're supposed to walk in the spirit. If you don't, you're going to gratify the sinful desires. And we're talking about, that's how we stay focused to be stronger for our families, to be stronger in the church, so that why we can take our place in the body of Christ. Take your place. You know, you're fully functioning in what I've been saying for a year and a half, that you were created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. You're not just existing. There's a purpose of why you are here on this earth. And it's more than just your Facebook. It's more than just your Instagram. It's more than just Snapchat. But it's more than, I'll tell you what, it's more than just a job. It's more than just existing. It's more than just getting up and enjoying the beach. It's more than that. Jesus said in John 10:10 that we're supposed to have life and have it what? More abundantly. And that's the way we're created to be. So as we go on this journey over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. You might not like what's said, but it's the Bible. And we need to hear it. I remember the days when I didn't like broccoli. I didn't like carrots, and I didn't like corn. I like them all now. Why? Because my daddy said, you got to eat this. My grandma said, you got to eat this. Why? Why do I got to eat this, grandma? Because you don't want to smack you upside your head. Right? I didn't get time out when I was growing up. I got knocked out. And so, why? So I ate what was good for me, even though I may not have liked the taste. And now, because I had it, I like the taste. And it's good for me. So sometimes we may not like it, but I tell you what, it's going to help us. Because that's how we're supposed to grow. That's how we're supposed to extend us. Growing causes pain. How many growing up, I remember Nick and Nate and Jules, oh, my body hurts. You got growing pains. It's all good. Go get yourself some broccoli, all right? So listen, I got to wrap this up because I want to get you out. Music ministry come up, and this is just scratching the surface. Romans 8:13. This is the ESV version. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Just like the king. He said, you didn't do what I charged you to do. So you're going to get death by penalty. Penalty is death. The same case, we may not die physically, spiritually die. There's spiritual death, and spiritual death, that's separation from God. Because of, you know what caused that? It's sin. So if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. The stronger the relationship I have with God, I will recognize the sheer importance and priority of family. The family in my life. I will recognize the sheer importance and priority of the church in my life. Thus, get this, thus, understand this, by doing this, it preserves and promotes the godly heritage within our families and within the church. That's why the attack is so big. That's why the devil knows why he wants to attack your family. He wants to attack the church.